Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple. Frank, you got the rest of it there? It's coming? All right. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said unto him, all these things I will give unto you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. May God bless his precious and holy word. Would you be seated? I can truthfully say there's not a person in this room that hasn't faced temptation. We face temptation so often, every day, many times. But I'll tell you something, and you probably already know this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Satan knows your every thought. Satan knows the Bible better than any person in this room. He knows every single word that is written. And he likes to take it out of context. And he likes to put scriptures together where they don't belong. Satan can say, there is no God written in the Bible. Therefore, work out your own salvation. Satan tries to put it on you. And you know something? He's right in a way. Because it does belong to you. The response is totally yours. Now those scriptures that I just quoted, the Bible says there is no God, is in the Old Testament, but it's taken totally out of context. In the New Testament, Paul said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that is taken out of context. But if we put those scriptures in context, we learn, and learn quickly, that the Lord God Almighty knows your thoughts as well. But Satan, when he comes and tempts you, he wraps it up in a beautiful package. Temptation is never ugly. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how it appears to be so good and desirable? I once heard an old analogy. Of course, it didn't happen, but that's all right. I'll go tell it anyhow. It seems that this man passed away. And he went and stood at the gates. St. Peter said, you know, he said, you haven't quite made up your mind yet whether you want to come to heaven or follow Satan. He says, so I'm going to give you a day at each place. He says, then you decide. He says, we're going to start with the glories of heaven. So the gentleman went in the gates and he was observing everything that was there, all the beauty, the tree of life with its 12 fruits that bloomed each month, the beautiful peace that passes all understanding, people praising God continually. And then St. Peter said, he said, now it's time for you to descend and talk to Satan for a little while. So he went down into hell. First thing Satan showed him was a beautiful lake. Power boats, jet skis, He had sailboats. He had beautiful people, both male and female, walking around in bathing suits, swimming, splashing, laughing, having a good time, fishing, all that good stuff. So the man went back to St. Peter and he said, seems to me that hell is not as bad as everybody is saying about it. And heaven is just a little bit boring, sitting around praising God all day long. He said, so I choose hell. So the man went back down to hell. Satan opened the door. And there was the fire, the eternal fire, and the flame, and the agony, and the terrible atrocity of being punished for an eternity. And the man looked at Satan and he says, wait a minute. He says, what happened to all that glory and beauty and the lake and the swimming and fishing and all that good stuff that you showed me? He says, what happened to it? Satan says, well, I showed you that because yesterday you were a candidate for this place. Today you're permanent party. In other words, there was no escape. And now we could see hell for what it really is. And too many times we are taught, we hear, well, there is no hell. Folks, I'm here to tell you, according to God's word, there is. And it's real. It's as real as this Second Baptist Church. It's as real as anything that you can ever imagine. To be tempted by Satan is a horrible experience. But all too often, being wrapped up in the beauty of the world, the needs of the world, we succumb to that temptation. Satan attacked Christ out there in the wilderness after 40 days and 40 nights without eating. He attacked him in his humanness. He attacked him where he thought he could make an inroad. He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned to bread because you're hungry. You've been out here for 40 days, 40 nights, and haven't eaten a bite. Now you can eat. Command these stones to become bread. Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not hungry. Of course he was hungry. He was still in human form. He was still in his human body. But he didn't say that. He said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. He quoted scripture back at Satan. Why is it so important for each and every one of us to read God's word every single day? My wife and I read three chapters a day, every single morning, without fail. Why? The scripture says that when Satan comes at you, God will provide a way of escape from that temptation. But you need to quote God's word, not your own. In your own, Satan's got you. But if you're able to quote God's word, and you say, well, if you're like me anyhow, I was going to take my Prevagen this morning, but my wife forgot to buy it. We forget, don't we? And we say, well, there's no sense in reading God's word because I read it And then I forget what it says. And I forget where it's found. Well, folks, you don't have to worry about where it's found in the Bible. All you need to do is know it's in the Bible. Because they make a concordance. I've got a small concordance here in my Thompson Chain reference that I love. But I've got the big concordance with every single word written in the Bible. I think there's about, 15 pages. And it's a big book devoted to the word "and." Every time that word "and" appears in the Bible, it's in the concordance. And you can see where. So you only need a word or two to use a concordance and find out exactly what God said about whatever you want to find out. You don't have to memorize it. Don't try to memorize it. But get the idea. Get the gist of what God is saying to you. If you can memorize it, praise the Lord. I have a preacher friend down in Orlando. He could quote God's word from Genesis to Revelation. You give him a passage, a scripture reference, and he'll tell you what it is. Man, I wish I had a photographic memory like that. But I don't. And I can't remember things. But that's why they put it in a book, so that I can look it up. And I can defeat Satan each and every time he comes at me. Because even though I can't remember the address of where it's at, I can remember that God said, and then he gives me the passage that I need. Why? Because I had read it. I had been exposed to it. And it's a fact that if you're exposed to something continually, you have a better recall of it. But if you don't ever read it, and you don't ever hear it, and you don't ever look at it, and you don't look it up, you don't find it, then you've got nothing to stand on, do you? And I'll tell you something. The stone that the builders rejected is the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For he is the cornerstone of our faith. Without Jesus, there is no faith. Without Jesus, there's no reason. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not done what the Bible says, then we're wasting our time here. We really are. When I was in Orlando, I was enrolled in seminary. I had had about 15 hours of seminary work. It was a satellite, but we had an opportunity to listen to the professor's presentation. And then we would sit in the classroom and talk about it. And then we had the opportunity to call the professor. There were about 5 different satellite schools involved with this. And I was sitting in the class one evening, and the professor made this statement in his presentation that the physical death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ had no bearing on his relationship to God. Did you hear that? That's a professor in seminary. Well, I wrote it down word for word. And when it come our turn to punch in, to call, I identified myself and I asked the professor, I said, if this is true, on what do you base your relationship to God? And you know what he did? He hung up on me. He hung up on me. And I prayed about that for the following week. And I went back to class And I handed the facilitator, the guy that was running the class, a letter. And turned around and walked out. I withdrew from seminary. Because if that professor was teaching that the physical death, burial, and subsequent resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had no bearing on his relationship to God, I said, I don't need to study that stuff. That's junk. That's a lie. Because without those three things, there is no reason for faith. There is no reason to be here today. There is no reason to share the gospel and the way out of hell that we have available to us. And we do. God the Father has thrown us a lifeline. And we need to grab a hold of it. And how do we do that? By when we are tempted, we quote scripture. May not be complete, but we're able to quote scripture as Jesus Christ himself did. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But Satan not only attacks us physically that way, he knows our physical needs. He attacked us in our abilities to see the beauty. We see in verses 5 and 6 that Satan is showing him that he can tempt God. We don't want to tempt God, folks. We don't say, well, I'm going to try this and it may not be quite right, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And that's what Satan was saying. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from this pinnacle. For it is written that, Satan quotes scripture at you, folks. So you got to quote scripture back. He said, it is written that he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked him right square in the eyeball, and he said, it is written that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't think you can tempt God and get away with it. When you do, you better be ready for the consequences. It's like the world today. They want to have fun. They want to do whatever they darn well please, whenever they darn well please, but they don't want the consequences of their actions. They want to blame it on everybody else. They want to blame the police. Well, they shouldn't shoot him. But yet the man had a gun pointing at them or another or at you. And he's ready to do you in. But society says, this police officer can't protect you. He can't use his deadly force. Otherwise, they throw him in jail. Well, let me tell you something. If I was standing there and a guy had a gun on me, and I saw a policeman standing there with his gun drawn, I would much rather hear the policeman's gun shoot than the crook. I really would. Why? Because I'm enjoying life. I don't want it to end. Even though, and here's the beauty of it, even though I know the moment I breathe my last, I will go to heaven and be united with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I will experience peace I won't have to worry about carpal tunnel surgery. I won't have to worry about wearing glasses. I won't have to worry about having an EKG to make sure my heart's okay. I won't have to worry about a wheelchair. I won't have to worry about anything. Alzheimer's disease, what a horrible, horrible disease that is. I won't have to worry about any of that stuff. Because all those things are passed away. And all things shall become new. And I know that's going to happen to me. I really, truly believe that. And the reason I believe it is God said it. I've heard people around me say, well, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Guess what? It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. Now, if you believe it, then you're blessed. You've been blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon you and revealed to you the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth in the first place. Jesus had to come and offer himself as the only sacrifice sufficient to bring you into the presence of God Almighty, his holy heavenly Father. That's what he wants to do. That's why he came. That's why he gave up the glory of heaven and came to earth and walked these dirty, filthy streets, put up with all the disease and famine that was on earth. And when he began his ministry at about age 30, everyone he touched was blessed. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years touched just a thread of his garment, and instantly she was healed. The physicians of the day had no way, had no knowledge on how to heal her. But she had such faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that by touching the thread of his garment, she was healed. The Roman centurion. The centurion was in charge of 100 men. Roman sent word to the Lord Jesus Christ, my servant is sick. Please come and heal him. And Jesus said, we'll go. And as he turned to go, another servant from the Roman centurion came to him and he said, look, I'm not worthy that you should enter my house. I'm not worthy. He says, but I have men under me, and if I tell them what to do, they do it. And I know, Jesus, if you simply said the word, my servant would be healed. And Jesus said, I have not seen such faith in all of Judea. Let it be so. And the Roman reported that from that moment on, his daughter or his servant was healed. Just a word. Just a word. Didn't have to touch the hem of the garment. Didn't even have to be in the same town. But he was healed. Why? Because the Roman centurion did not tempt the Lord, his God. He knew who Jesus was. That's the reason he called him. And then the final temptation. The final temptation. Well, let me see here. Boy, I don't have much in there. Matter of fact, George Washington just put sunglasses on. Satan took Jesus to the top of the mountain and he showed him all the beauty in the kingdoms of the earth. He showed him the glories that are here on earth for us to enjoy. And he told Jesus, he said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will put you in charge. I'll give you all of this. The Taj Mahal. Tahiti. The Maldives, I guess. I don't even know where the Maldives is, but I've heard about that. I've heard that's where the rich and famous go. So I'll say it, to the Maldives. Jesus saw it. And he saw the beauty. And he saw the power that he would have. And each and every one of us have a desire for power. Oh, we might deny it. But we do. We like being in charge. How many of you like sitting there waiting for somebody? No fun, is it? No fun to sit and wait. But if you had the authority, you could tell them to be on time. And they'd have to be on time. But Jesus did not fall for that. That's in verses 8 and 9. But in verse 10, Jesus said, and I quote, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." You can't serve two masters, the Bible says. You can't serve mammon and God at the same time. Mammon is the earthly wealth, the earthly power that you desire. You can't serve them. You can have it, and you can use it for good, which is great. But all too many people who have that power and authority, they get a little bit sideways, don't they? I'm pretty old. I've seen a lot of presidents in my time. I've seen presidents come into office who had the absolute best intentions. But after 3 or 4 years, their intentions go away. And they lose sight of what they ran for. They lose sight of all the promises that they made during the contest. They lose sight of all that and become powerful. I know of one particular man that ascended to the presidency. When he took office, his earthly wealth was approximately $200,000. When he left office 6 years later, he was worth almost $1 billion. You see, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's what we have to face, folks. That's one of the temptations of Satan. To make it look good. To wrap it up in a beautiful package. To get you to accept that. Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah. That's what I want. If Satan wrapped it up like it really is, no one would fall. No one would fall for his lies. Not any of us know the moment or the hour that God is going to call you to heaven. or Satan is going to call you to hell. Satan knows what time you're going. God knows what time you're going. You don't. So how much time do we have? I don't know. It seems that Satan and his angels were talking one day. And Satan says, look, we're falling behind in our quota. He says, I want you all to put your heads together and come up with a plan that'll get us some more converts. So one devil raised his hand. He says, I think if we just tell people that there is no God. Satan says, no, that won't work. It's innate in people to know that there is a God. One little guy in the back stood up and he says, Satan, I know what we can do. We can tell the people that there is a God. And Satan got a little bit redder. He says, and then we can tell them that there's plenty of time to accept God later. That they can enjoy life right now, and then just before they go, they die, they can tell God that they love Him. Just before they die. There's plenty of time. Satan says, that's it. That'll get us all the converts we need. There's plenty of time. Each and every one of us in this room today have breath in our bodies. But there's not a single one of us in this room that know when we shall breathe our last. And worrying about it, it's not going to change a thing. It may hasten it because worrying about it does nothing but give you ulcers, high blood pressure, all that good stuff that we want to avoid. So don't worry about it. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive your sin. And each one of us have plenty of sin to forgive. If we didn't, then Jesus died for nothing. And I know for a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died. And I know for a fact that 3 days later, He came out of that tomb. And He ascended to His Father. For one reason, and that is that when I die and I go to heaven and Satan accuses me and brings up all my sin, Jesus is going to be there and He's going to be my advocate. He's my lawyer. Satan's going to say, well, He did this. And Jesus said, I know it, but that's why my blood was shed. Satan's going to say, well, He did this. And Jesus is going to say, I know that, but that's why my blood was shed. It covered it. Every time Satan throws a dart, Jesus throws a bucket of water. And He puts out those darts. And Jesus is going to look at His Father and say, Father, he's one of mine. Forgive him. And open the gate. And then Jesus is going to look at me. I'll probably be red-faced for all the failings that I do. He knows them. But He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into thy rest. You see, Jesus is going to say that to me. In spite of my life, because Jesus died to forgive my sin. And I got news for you. Jesus died to forgive your sin. And before you breathe your last, you must make an advance reservation for heaven. And that reservation is written in the blood of the Lamb, in the Lamb's book of life. For if it is not written, then you have no hope, none whatsoever. You have to do it here. You have to make that advance reservation, please. Don't leave this auditorium this morning without asking the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior, to become Lord of your life. Don't leave here. We got plenty of people here that can show you in God's Word what you must do to be saved. And if you don't have that blessed assurance within your heart, I ask you, please, I'll be at the back door. I always go to the back door and I call it my exit pole. It's when I have an opportunity to at least say hi. But if you have a heartfelt need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you just grab my hand and say, "Preacher, I need Jesus." And ladies, we have ladies here that know, you can talk to them. You don't have to talk to me. I know it's a little foreign for some women to talk to men. So we got plenty of women here that know. But whoever you are, and wherever you are in life, if you're looking for a loaf of bread, if you're looking to tempt God, well, I'm going to put it off. I got plenty of time. Or if you're looking for that power and authority, folks, you can receive more power than you ever thought possible. You can receive the power of the Holy Spirit right now. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, may He bless His holy word. Amen. Would you rise? And now, may the peace of God, which truly passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May you feel His peace upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the blessed Holy Spirit, depart in peace to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now sing "Rejoice, the Lord is King."